Well, good morning. Well, thank you for sharing, Marilyn, Grant, Ken and Lorna. It's a blessing to my heart to hear how God has moved in your life and moved others towards you. So thank you. We're going to just share this morning very briefly from John 15 about abiding in a vine. Let me pray and then we'll turn to God's word. Our Heavenly Father and loving Lord, we thank you that you bless us, you encourage us, strengthen us in your word. We thank you for your spirit that abounds in us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. And this morning, as we look at what it means to abide in your love, we thank you that you have connected us to yourself because of the sacrifice that Jesus has made on the cross. So we praise you, we acknowledge you as the one who deserves all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Where we used to live down the southern suburbs of Adelaide, we had a beautiful little place. You would drive up over the hill, about 10 minutes away, and then you drop down into this valley. And in this valley, there was all of these vines, grapevines. And there was a lot of commercial sellers, a very boutique winery area, and there was a lot of people who had hobby farms. They'd run a few cattle and they'd have vineyards, and they would grow the grapes for the local producers. And one of our friends, Tony and Karen, his wife and their boys, had such a property, and Stella and I would stay there as we'd come back from the mission sometimes, and we'd wander through this property. And sometimes the grapes would be growing and other times they would be bare. But what we noticed then, it's no surprise that the thing that remained constant was always the vine. Always the vine. Without that vine, there was no fruit. If you took away the vine and just left the branches, it would be desolate, dying, and useless and cast aside. And meticulous care was taken to make sure that vine stayed strong and the branches connected. Because you see, there was much fruit to be had from future generations. And these vines were old, very old. And because they were cared for by Tony and his wife Karen particularly, you never give the boys a set of machetes or anything with those vines, because who knows what would happen. But they always produced grapefruit, which the sellers used to use to make their local produce. I want you to turn with me to John 15. And we get this story that Jesus is telling not long before he suffered. And it says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So he makes it very clear from the straight up get-go that Jesus is talking about himself as the vine who gives nourishment to the branches so that people might bear much fruit. And God himself is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word, and I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, he reminds us again. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We're left under no misillusion here, no disillusionment or anything at all, that Jesus is the vine. and we are to abide in him. This constant word, abiding, 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 and love comes up all the time. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from you, me, you can do nothing. This picture, metaphor, which describes as the vine. That's the disciples. That's Jesus. And we are the branches, the disciples, that's you and me. You have faith in Jesus Christ. You are a branch. And the Father is the vine dresser. That is the gardener who tends to the branches. Those fruitful branches that bears much fruit. And the unfruitful branches are pushed aside, cut off, thrown into the fire. You see, we are to produce fruit. If you flick across to go right to Galatians chapter 5, what kind of fruit are we talking about here? In verse 22 of chapter 5 in Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit, and I want you to notice these, the fruit, singular, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. We've just sung a song, great is your faithfulness. God has lavished his faithfulness upon us. And how did he do that? He called us to himself, saying that Jesus Christ was sufficient for your salvation. No greater love than this, that someone laid down their life. Do you understand how much you are loved? Do you understand what it cost for that love to be expressed? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. As we learn to abide in God's love, we need to consider three things, I think, this morning from this text that we've read. We are connected. We are connected to God in a fallen world. We are connected to a God that has fallen beyond repair, we think. But God is making all things new. And one day he will come back for us, the church. That is you and I. It is that union that we are entered into with Christ. You see, there's a mutual connection. But this is the difference. Jesus is always connected to the Father and to the Spirit. And it is our role to be connected to them. You see, Jesus and God and the Spirit was living without us. They were already connected, but it is us that needs to move to them. That's why we are branches. That Jesus is the vine, he remains solid, buried into the ground, the roots going deep, unshakable, unmovable. But we are the ones who need to draw near to him. He is constant. We are not so much. He is consistent. We are not so much. He is all loving. Are we supposed to be? We are the ones that need to be connected to him. Because if there's no connection, there is no life. Tony and Karen's vines, the grapes don't grow over there, somewhere else. They grow connected to the vine. And they bear much fruit. And those characteristics of that fruit is quite evident. And it's also evident in our own lives. You know, we have heard this morning from people who faithfully lean and trust in God to produce fruit, not only in themselves, but fruit for others through prayer. Then we see this dependence. This aspect of abiding is unlike a connection. And it's not reciprocal. Like I mentioned before, it is not reciprocal. Jesus lives in us, and we live in him. But we are not, he is not dependent on us. Oh, praise God for that. That he is not dependent on our efforts. Without him, we are useless, lifeless, powerless. Sap flows through the vine into the outer reaches of the branches, bringing life-giving grace to those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, life-giving connection to him, who brings fruit, completely dependent upon Jesus for everything, and that counts as spiritual fruit for us in verse 4. Now, when Grant shared this morning, can you imagine what it would be like to be leave your homeland under those circumstances? I don't know what that's like. And most of us would not know what that's like. But Grant and his family and his dog did. And they left. And they left because they trusted in God and continued to seek God's face. Because they recognized, as his testimony said this morning, without Jesus Christ, they can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Their branch was not discarded from the vine. In fact, they drew closer to God, I would imagine. What a wonderful testimony of God's faith. Faithfulness to them, and what a wonderful testimony of their faith to God. And then we see this picture of continuance. Abiding involves continuance, not static, not drifting. The picture remains. Stay. Continue. That's what abiding means. Stay. Continue. Stay connected. Continue on. Don't move away. In John 1, 38 and 39, two of the disciples who first encountered Jesus asked him, "Where are you staying?" Same picture. Where are you abiding? Where are you residing? Where have you taken up residence? Where have you taken up residence? What does it mean for you to actually live and abide in Jesus? Are you taking up residence in his love and in his mercy? There's a clear picture that's growing here. Love, abiding. Abiding is residence. Where have you set up your tent? Where have you set up your home? What is the most important thing to you about what that looks like for you? You know, it means that we are depending. We never stop believing. We are totally dependent. We go on trusting. I mean, this is what he's talking about. If you abide in my word in John 8, 31, 32, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, we have ultimate freedom in Jesus. But we have to play by his, dare I say it, rules. He asks us for our obedience to his cause, not my cause or your cause. He says, follow me, rest in me, come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden, for you in me you will find rest. You are free to do those things. So we see that believing is united with Jesus, relying on Jesus dependent, and remain in Jesus for continuance. But who is this actually for? And you might say, oh, duh, it's for me. Haven't you just said that? Well, that's the reality. But it leads to another question. Who is it actually for? If someone abides in him, his love and his word, that proves they are his disciples, right? But what does it actually mean to be his disciples? Is it descriptive or prescriptive? Or perhaps a better way, is it suggestion or a command? You see, we take a lot of the Bible as a suggestion. It's typology. Oh, we can do this. And there are some typologies in the Bible. No question. But if you're not laying yourself in dependence on Jesus, you're seeing it as a typology, and then you're free to do whatever you like. It is actually a command. Abide in me. Abide in my love. So abiding in Jesus is something that is true for all believers. You must rest in his goodness. And some people have made this so complicated. They have suggested that abiding in Christ is something additional. Something like you have to have some crisis in your life. You know, we've had a crisis in a life testimony this morning. We've had people praying. We've had someone taking someone to school. And we've had a lovely lady share with us about how her whole life has been dependent on Jesus Christ. You see, life doesn't have to be earth-shattering. And one event doesn't overshadow another one. When Stella and I became Christians and we gave our testimonies, people would say, oh, I wish I had a testimony like that. And I go, no, you don't. Because you've grown up in the church and you have been protected from all the rubbish that we put ourselves through. Your family's taught you what it meant to abide in Jesus. It taught you that meant this is right and that's wrong, and this is how you love God and this is how you abide in Him. You don't want to go through that mess. You don't want to have it slammed in your face at the most inopportune time when you think you're walking a straight path towards Jesus. Especially when your kids are around, revealing dark and dim secrets. When I hear a testimony like Marilyn, this is what I think. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. And for you guys that have been protected and grown up in the church, never underestimate the testimony that you have as we hear it for people like us. It was so thick it took us years to come round to Jesus' way. Except for Stella, of course. Was that a laugh of rebuke or no? So you are to bear fruit. And fruit means that you set about your daily activities working for Jesus. Out of that fruit comes service to Him. It means saying, I will, not I maybe. It means the richness of serving Jesus is proclaiming the goodness of Jesus Christ to all mankind through whatever you do. Whether it's pouring a cup of tea, welcoming someone at the door, standing here and yelling at people, serving at the back, down there, it doesn't matter. You are to bear fruit. You don't hold on to it yourself. Your gifts are for others, not for you. Are you using your gifts to show an expression of love and faithfulness to God? I just want you to pause for a second and think about that. What does that actually mean for you? What is the expression of your love for God? And how does that look for you? Kids will be coming up, so I want to just want to pray. Abide in Jesus. Recognize what He's done for you. Recognize the one that holds everything you have in the palm of your hands, in the palm of His hands, sorry, not yours, His. Let's give thanks. Our Heavenly Father and loving Lord, again we say to You, thank You. We pray, Father, that our hearts might recognize, yes, that we need to put our best foot forward for You and live a life worthy out of love and devotion to one another, to You. And the way that we seek to minister to those people who don't know You, in our service to one another, we all do that because of our love for You. We thank You so much for Your Son. We thank You that we worship You with our lives. And we pray the offering of our lives might be acceptable to You. We thank You, Father, that You prune that is not good and grow which is good. So we yield to you in obedience. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Kelly.